Okay, the pandemic is when you walk through the kitchen and you're wearing some socks, and those socks are keeping your feet warm and comfy, and then you step in a puddle of a little bit of water on the floor, and it gets all in between your toes, except it stays like that for 6 months to 2 years. I mean, however long this will carry on for. Just permanently having a wet sock. Can you imagine that? That'd be fucking horrible.
It's strange to be asked initial thoughts because it's developed in stages.
My first reactions was like, we'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
I was just like, oh, that's something that's happening really far away. It, you know, it has nothing really to do with us.
I didn't think anything of it, to be honest with you.
I guess I kind of treated it like some hoax, conspiracy theory.
I wouldn't have even imagined that it would have been August before things... Well, things aren't even back to normal.
And I remember being rather scared. And I didn't know how I was going to cope because I live alone, and I immediately went into self-preservation mode.
Kind of like wars, right? When we learn in school about world wars, there's still wars raging constantly, but when they don't touch you, when they're not near you, you don't really think about them. I really felt like I was going through two pandemics.
When COVID hit New Zealand, it was a year after the Christchurch mosque attacks.
When George Floyd was killed, when Ahmaud Arbery was killed, Breonna Taylor, the list goes on and on. I felt those.
So when lockdown happened, we were just in this safe haven bubble of observing COVID from the other side of the world.
Everything we see is kind of through a lens. It all just flows into this one kind of just global news.
And it's odd being the other side of the world and not knowing how you can help the situation.
My mum's a frontline NHS nurse.
My job title is an occupational therapist. So I work with people with disabilities, illnesses, get them back to independence or support them with having as independent a life as possible at home.
Parents would just had retired or at the point of retiring from being doctors. So they were sort of winding down and then got the call back.
I think at first you kind of don't believe it until you see something. Because you think it's in another country, it's going to be fine, it's not going to affect us.
The hardest thing is that my mum felt so misunderstood by everyone else in the family. Like, she would come home and she would say to me, like, I just don't think anyone understands how hard it is to be working in an environment like hospitals at the moment and how hard it is.
Our hospital became a COVID hospital. About 3 or 4 wards got opened up. We got staff redeployed. All the patients we had on the wards were COVID positive and receiving treatment.
Some hospitals had been issued with PPE, but her walk-in centre hadn't been issued with PPE yet.
In our situation, we are isolated from our families. We didn't see our families for 4 months anyway.
Now it's gone back to that. It's gone back to seeing a lot of death and having to deal with that every day. I think that's the hardest thing for her on her mental health, and that's probably why her mental health declined in A&E as well. And I think it's easy for nurses to get like that and for them that to impact their mental health.
My mother obviously is quite ill.
My dad's partner actually has a kind of immune deficiency disease.
It was a lot of stress and a lot of running around to make sure other people were okay.
I'd quite like to see her to celebrate the end of her treatment.
One of the worst aspects of it was having to tell people, because I felt unbelievably fucking guilty that I might have passed it on to people.
I think it touches you through your friends and family who were there too.
If it was me that passed it on to him and he's nearly died or had died, you know, how could I live? I felt really bad about living with that, even though I've not done anything wrong.
So I'm going to explain my experience with COVID-19 in terms of a roller coaster ride. We're on a straight and narrow track, heading towards what we think is a goal.
I would have had my final undergraduate exams.
At the time I was doing my dissertation, I had two essays due in before the end of the semester, and I was also preparing for my final recital.
Slowly rising, and then boom! You go right down.
Their normal routine is completely disrupted, and you're asking us to, you know, take these kids out, and they're getting really upset, understandably.
And as we're going up, we're going back down, up and down, up and down, and we're doing lots of swirls.
A lot of up and downs quite rapidly.
But it was the loneliness that was the main factor.
Chaos is progressing, we're still not having any idea of what is going on.
It feels like you're living through a post-apocalyptic novel.
Then I got quite paranoid because my type 1 diabetes.
Like 2 steps forward, 3 steps back.
Not socialising and working in the same place.
Yes, he's always in the background.
It's hard for families, and I think it was really hard.
So incredibly lonely.
I think I once sat down and sat here and thought, you're lonely today.
Being in lockdown will affect our mental health in ways that we probably won't even realise.
I started to go through a bit of a dark place. A doctor diagnosed it as clinical depression. One of the things that made me quite unwell or stopped me from being well throughout lockdown was battling intense periods of loneliness, and I've struggled with loneliness for a long time.
They're arguing that since lockdown there's been a reduction in incidents, but of course the fucking has, because everyone's been locked in the cells 23 hours a day, and that prisoners are happier with that. No, they're not. There's been a massive increase in self-harm. And
when you have depression, you already feel like you're the loneliest person in the world. Part of my recovery is to establish a safe space and a comfortable place where I can make myself well again.
For those living alone, for those who can only go as far as their doorstep.
Everyone's mental health and planning would be just so much better if we were given how long this would last at the beginning.
Alone and who hate the phone. Those who depend on human contact. This is for those who are alone.
So I opened the bedroom window and he said, are you all right, Mrs. Whittaker? Because there's an awful lot of milk on your doorstep.
This is for you.
But that was really reassuring because someone cared.
For those who sleep alone in their bed.
I also think maybe personally I'll be very quick to forget how much good it did me to be focused on my own well-being.
Well, it will go back to normal. One day. Will it?
Will it? A new normal.
A new normal. Well,
normal's always changing.
Normal's always changing, you're right.
There's never the same normal.
I actually think that the kind of downs that I've had have not been any more severe or frequent.
I'm doing okay at trying to get out of a bad patch.
Seeking help is definitely something I'm very proud of, and it's
definitely made me much more well during lockdown.
I actually feel like I've come out of this lockdown in a more positive place than I was. You know, I'm much more capable of sitting on my own.
I still, you know, we still managed to do it. We still managed to graduate, even in a global pandemic. And I think that proves the strength of our generation.
I think our whole COVID time has kind of been like the theme of gratitude.
Right now, in this very moment, I'm incredibly grateful that I've had the time for myself.
It's going to be messy for a few years, but what will potentially come out of it, I think, will be down to testimony of your generation rather than mine.
Everything feels like it's got this tinge of normality to it now.
I'd like to go to John Lewis and just browse and start at the bottom and go right to the top and have a pick up things and put them down and feel things and go and try things on and put them back. There's that poem, "When I am old,
when I am an old woman, I shall wear purple, with a red hat which doesn't go and doesn't suit me. And I shall spend my pension on brandy and summer gloves and satin sandals and say we've no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I am tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit."
A piece of advice I'd give myself in 2019, if I were propelled into the future to a point where there was a global pandemic, I would say take the time to acknowledge your feelings.
Try to figure out any problems, any dynamics or relationships which might make it difficult.
Just carry on being patient and doing what you're doing is what I would say. I think you're doing what you need to do, and I've said that all along.
Appreciate friends and leads more.
I'm hoping that I don't have any more bad days. I'm hoping the rest of this week is just good mental health days.
Keep messaging your friends. They know that you're there. And for some of them, they know that you're a bit shit on the phone. But a short text or a short call goes a long way for them.
I think I'd like to see people getting used to being around people again.
You know, I would say to myself in 2019, like, do take the time to relax, to enjoy yourself, you know, to make sure that you're keeping connecting with friends, you know, slow down.
To just take each day as it comes.
And it's going to be all right. Don't worry, don't panic. It'll work out all right in the end.
When all of this is over, I will drink until my ears burst, washing away months of sleep. As soon as I feel better, I will abandon white wine for good.
2 weeks isolation isn't that long, and use that time as growth and thoughtfulness, and then go out and do something.
You are like me, scared when all of this is over, all of this mess. A part of us will be different, but not because we had a chance to grow or make it so. We will be different because we will be older. Being older shouldn't frighten us, but I know it will.
Although it's been a bad time for everybody, people have thought about me.
The advice I'd give her is just like, I'm here for you, like I will be here for you.
So, when all of this is finally over, I'll tell you that I love you in the largest of ways. I'll hold your hand as we finally talk about everything together.